You know, Barbara, we were talking in the newsroom about all this peak oil stuff and rising gas prices.
In our morning meeting.
Yes, and the oil pipeline. And then our colleague Chrissy Clark pipes up. She just got back from vacation. She's been in Martha's Vineyard for a week. And she says, oh, yeah, I was just over vacation. I was reading Moby Dick.
Right. We're all numbly staring at her.
Yeah.
Slow on the uptake.
Kind of a non sequitur, but, you know, okay, your mind's in your vacation. Okay, Chrissy, that's fine. But she insists, no, really, there's a connection here. And here she is.
Recently, a funny sense of deja vu came over me. I was reading about one of America's obsessions, our monomania for oil, a finite resource that is only found through luck and daring exploration. It can make men kings. It can shape foreign policy. It is a matter of national security, and men will die for it. Here's what I read, what got me thinking.
For God's sake, be economical with your lamps and candles. Not a gallon you burn, but at least one drop of man's blood was spilled for it.
This is not petroleum we're talking about. In the words of Herman Melville, what then can it be but sperm oil,
the sweetest of all oils.
Sperm oil, as in sperm whale oil. Melville wrote Moby Dick in 1851, but there's a fairy tale spirit to all extractive industries. Whether it's whale blubber or dinosaur fossils, we always seem a little Captain Ahab-y about our relationship to oil.
Well, I mean, America is an industrial nation, and in order to make the wheels of industry go, one needs lubricants.
Mike Dyer is standing in the ruins of the whaling industry on Hazard's Wharf in New Bedford, Massachusetts. He's a historian for the New Bedford Whaling Museum. New Bedford's a pretty depressed fishing town now, but back in the glory days of the 1840s and 50s, it was the place to be if you were a whale oil tycoon.
Casks of oil would be hoisted off the vessel, and then Mr. Morgan and Mr. Parker and Mr. Russell and Mr. Howland would all stand around and be very, very pleased if the oil came out smelling sweet and handsome, and they would frown somewhat if sperm oil came out smelling bad and having a bad color. It wouldn't bring the same in the marketplace.
In New Bedford, all these brave houses and flowery gardens came from the Atlantic, Pacific, and Indian Oceans, one and all.
At first, New England whalers didn't have to go all the way to the Pacific and Indian Oceans to find their oil. There was plenty of supply close to home, but Americans couldn't get enough of the stuff.
Whales that had been close to shore just sort of disappeared, and the mariners needed to go further and further afield to get the materials that they needed. And if it took them to the Gulf of Mexico or the Azores or the coast of Africa, Java, the Sea of Celebes, the Banda Sea, that's where they went.
One more day,
homeward bound tomorrow.
One more day, only one more.
The moot point is whether Leviathan can long endure so wide a chase and so remorseless a havoc, whether he must not at last be exterminated from the waters. And the last whale, like the last man, smoke his last pipe, and then himself evaporate in the final puff.
Herman Melville's a smart guy, you know. Sure, he's going to ask that question.
Mike Dyer.
You know, and he's out there in the Pacific Ocean at the absolute height of American whaling, and he's watching what's going on, and he's seeing the tens of thousands of gallons of oil that are being taken by these vessels.
People debated the idea of peak whale oil, and meanwhile, demand and prices kept growing. By 1850, whale oil was more than $2 a gallon. But there was never any great whale oil panic, because behind the scenes, whale oil tycoons were quietly investing in the hunt for a cleaner-burning, less expensive, shall we say, alternative energy source. And one day in August in 1859, they found it on a farm in Pennsylvania, coming out of the ground instead of a whale. The modern petroleum industry was born, and whale oil, which had once lighted the streets of Boston, was reduced to a common ingredient in makeup. Then it was banned altogether.
People in New Bedford, they had a sense of loss. They knew that they were seeing the end of something. It might not have been particularly romantic at the time, but, you know, when you look at a piece of scrimshaw that was crafted on a whale ship in 1845, I mean, these guys, they were engaged in something, and it was not lost on them.
At the New Bedford Whaling Museum, kids are playing with a replica of a machine that sailors use to hoist the sails of a whaling ship. And it makes me think. When we talk about what will happen when we run out of fossil fuel, we hear about apocalypse, inconvenience, and a brave new future of solar and wind power. But the idea that we'll miss oil, no one really thinks about that. No matter how you feel about oil and what it's done to the planet or U.S. foreign policy, whether you drive a hybrid or a Hummer, I bet your children or your great-grandchildren are probably going to find some romance when they look back at our quest for oil. They might even go to a museum.
Weekend America's Chrissy Clark. And to see some cool old pictures of whaling ships, go to our website, weekendamerica.org.
Weekend America is brought to you by Target, committed to making a real difference every day by giving back over $2 million every week. Target is online at target.com.